Welcome back to Dakota Midday. I'm Lori Walsh. When President and Mrs. Calvin Coolidge spent the summer of 1927 in the Black Hills, they made Custer State Park the summer White House. Gary Enright is with us today for our Images of the Past segment to talk about how the whole territory turned out to make this the finest vacation anyone could possibly enjoy. Gary, welcome back to Dakota Midday.
Well, thank you very much, Laurie. It's nice to be here.
Tell me a story about President Coolidge. Why did he love the Black Hills so much? What brought him here?
Well, I think it had a lot to do with the state representatives in Congress who had a great deal of influence over where the president was going to take his vacation, and they enticed him, President Coolidge, to come to the Black Hills to dedicate a bare mountain that didn't have any carving on it or anything whatsoever, but would be the future site of Mount Rushmore. Hmm. And the president decided that this might be an excellent opportunity to take a little time off in the hot summertime in Washington, D.C., to come to a place where it's cool and there's a lot of trees and shade and everybody is friendly, and this was the place that he chose to come for the purpose of dedicating Mount Rushmore before even one stick of dynamite was set to the mountain to start the carving.
How long did he stay?
He stayed for almost 3 months.
Wow.
And which was very unusual.
Was longer than necessary? Did he stay because he liked it, or did he stay?
Yes, that was, in fact, the dedication was within a few days of when he arrived, but he and Grace Coolidge were having so much fun that they decided to extend their vacation at least another 6 weeks, and that was the reason why he spent June, July, and August in the Black Hills.
That's exactly how I feel when I go to Custer.
Yeah,
you just want to stay, don't you? You're like, it's not enough time. What kind of things did they do there outside of the political business of the nation? What sort of recreational things did they do during
the first thing, of course, was to enjoy Custer State Park. There is a tale that is told about one of the Secret Service men who got into trouble because he was guarding Mrs. Coolidge when she took a hike along a creek and in the Custer Park. And as a matter of fact, he and Mrs. Coolidge got lost.
Oh. And,
but they were rescued within a few minutes, but I think he probably was thoroughly criticized for not paying attention to where he was going. But that was just one of the little incidences. But one of the things that Mrs. Coolidge found was that the creeks, the small creeks of Custer State Park had a lot of trout, and she knew that her husband loved to fish. And so that became one of the primary activities that the president engaged in. But he did a lot of other things. He did the typical Wild West things of going to a rodeo at the Black Hills Roundup in Belle Fourche. He and his wife both attended there. He met with a lot of different groups, including cowboys that were all dressed up in their gear, showing off to the president. And they had Indian tribes come to the Black Hills, and they spent a considerable amount of time with the president. And local citizens group, gold miners, Boy Scouts, all of them participated in the president's vacation.
What sort of political business was happening at that time? Can you put it in context of what was happening in the nation?
Yeah, it was 1927 when the president came to South Dakota. It was at a time that was just prior to the big upset in the stock market, the crash of 1929. And the signs were already there that the president could see that the economy of the country was in trouble, showing some definite signs of being in trouble. And as a matter of fact, one of the historic things that happened when the president was here, that having given consideration to what was going on economically and politically in the country, this is the location where the president announced to the press, "I choose not to run for a second term."
Hmm.
So that was a historical time, and one of it was one of the reasons was because the president recognized that there was trouble on the horizon, and he didn't want to mess with that.
Hmm. How about Grace Coolidge? What did she enjoy her time?
Yes, here? She did, and she was independent of the president on a lot of things that went on in the Black Hills. And one of them was she was convinced by the local YMCA in Custer to have her come to the town of Custer and dedicate the world's largest log building. That building still stands in downtown Custer, and it was a community center at that time and now belongs to the YMCA in Custer, but she was very definitely involved in that. But she also accompanied the president when he went trout fishing in the Black Hills. She went to the rodeo in Belle Fourche. Mm. She was there when the Indian tribes from Rosebud came and made the president a honorary chief of the Lakota tribe in South Dakota.
Was there any results of that? Did we see anything going forward of that meeting with Lakota people here in South Dakota that influenced national policy?
I think that they had an opportunity to discuss some of their concerns with the president, but I have a feeling that the reservation system was still only a quarter of a century old at that time, and I'm not sure that there were so many of the issues that they face today with regard to the poverty and the joblessness and some of those things, but there was an opportunity for the president to get a feeling for talking to the Native American tribes, which a resident of Vermont doesn't usually get. Doesn't have that opportunity. But I think that he probably learned a great deal about the Native American people and became a strong advocate of some of the rights that the Native tribes eventually managed to find in their lifestyle.
Gary, I'm wondering if did they ever come back after leaving office?
They did not come back to the Black Hills that we know of. I don't. I think it would have probably made the news. We have no record of that. But what we do have is the lasting imprint, so to speak, at Custer State Park, in that the area that the president and his wife stayed in have been preserved in the Game Lodge, which was really their summer White House. There was a room set aside for the president's office at Rapid City Central High School, the old Central High School in Rapid City. And then there is Grace Coolidge Lake in the park. There's a lot of things that are named after the president and his wife, so that the mark is still in the Black Hills, even though they may not have come back.
Gary Enright, thank you so much for joining us again. I look forward to talking to you next time.
Well, Lori, thank you for the call, and I appreciate it.
That's our Dakota Midday for today. We hope it served you. I'd like to thank our guests, Brian Schmidt, T. Wilson King, and Gary Enright. As always, thank you to Steve Zwemke, Gina Myros, and Chris Loffrey. We're packing our bags and heading to Pierre tomorrow's Dakota Midday broadcast from the Capitol Building. We'll hear from Secretary of State Chantel Krebs, as well as representatives from the Republic of Korea. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Lori Walsh. Meet me here tomorrow at noon Central. Thanks for listening.